Office hours are now open. Welcome to the show where we answer everyday questions about life and work in Luxembourg by talking to business owners, employees, entrepreneurs and experts. Send me your feedback to adam.petersen@rtl.lu or on LinkedIn. But for now, on to the show. I created an account with Apple about 20 years ago. They have cherished that data. They've created software that securely shares it with my bank and the coffee shop. Apple makes my life as easy as possible. Yet for some reason, the government keep asking for the same information time and time again. I wrote those words back in May for an RTL Today opinion article, complaining about the bureaucracy that business owners face. At the end of May, I attended the kickoff for the Creative Young Entrepreneur Luxembourg competition that is arranged by the Junior Chamber International. They presented the previous finalist of the competition, Daniel Kirikov, the founder of EasyBiz, Incorporation, and Accounting in Luxembourg Made Easy. And I thought, I need to get Daniel on the show. So here he is. Welcome, Daniel.
Hello.
Now, before we get into your journey as an entrepreneur, you do more than just EasyBiz. You have 3F Venture Studio. There's a bunch of companies that sit under that umbrella.
Yeah, the Venture Studio overall, it's a company that actually creating other companies. So we are mostly specializing on creating a companies, tech-driven companies in the central part of the Europe in the USA. And we have right now 8 active projects and around 20 different concepts that are launching in parallel. So it's kind of in classical life, it's called vertical integrated holding. So we're specializing on launching new activities, kind of one ecosystem.
They're all your own projects as opposed to being a venture capitalist that would invest in other people's?
Or? It's depend because we have internally, we have different model. We have one model where we are partnering from the beginning with someone who bring the idea, but most of the idea will launch by ourselves. But of course, we have partners in most of the projects specializing on some operational activity or whatever.
So you say you've got lots of ideas. So let's go back and understand your journey as an entrepreneur. So where were you born and where did you grow up?
I born in Moscow, 91, 34 right now. I actually from ordinary family, wasn't rich. I grew up in a super simple district, overall goes to ordinary public school. Everybody is asking me why you created your first company. It's not a beautiful story because I needed the money and I needed the money to invite some of the girlfriend to the restaurant. Really? And that was the main motivation because nobody wanted to take me for the job. I was too young. Actually, I started first activity from 13 years old. I started to create a kind of websites or whatever. It was super simple things. I also created the first kind of automation bot in online games, and they mined the coins over there and they sold it for the real money.
So you were hit puberty 30 and got interested in girls, wanted to take, and then you're a bit of a gamer as well. So
I was, yeah.
First business, did it make money?
First one, actually, I sold a website. Remember, it wasn't actually the business. I wasn't 18 years old. I couldn't create the business. But yeah, first was websites. After I created several bots, after I helped to create kind of dedicated server, after I helped to repair the computer in the pharmacies, I was trying to find more stable job when I was 60 years old. And I came to the company, was kind of group of the companies, a super small one, Micro, and they gave me a project of monitoring of commercial transport, and I started to manage this project internally, and this was actually my first business I created.
And you were still in school at the time?
Yeah, I was in school. I was going after the school, as actually was other part of the city. Here in Luxembourg, it's difficult to explain because it's one and a half hour by the metro from one side to another. And I was going every day from the school, and I was coming back at late night and going next day to the school and again coming back to the work.
And then you went from school 18 university?
You mean after the school? Yeah. It was Moscow State University of Technical Engineering. And it was also interesting journey because kind of on the first course, I decided to discuss with kind of management of my course and decided that I will help bring a student next year to you and like just give me ability to visit university more freely in terms of I have in parallel the work. And I started also to bring some business activity inside the university. For example, I hired as a part-time work a few of my professors that was helping the building the management site inside the company and so on.
You were a student and you were hiring the professors?
Yeah, I was doing.
Were you confident as a child?
Not really. I think totally opposite. So I'm still not that confident. I'm more introvert person, and I'm always thinking that I'm not right at the beginning, and I'm trying to kind of analyze all potential way and rethink them. So no, I'm not confident person.
But you always had a hustle on the go. You were always entrepreneurial all the way through school, university, doing these sorts of
kind of. You remember the film was Yes Man or something like this with the Jim Carrey when he was saying always yes to anything that was come to him. That's exactly about me right now. Less, but for some of the time in my life, I was. If there was any opportunity, I was saying yes. For example, when I started to repair the computer in the pharmacies before. I never opened the computer and I just, okay, I will figure it out. And I figure it out. So it take me more time. I spent some nights discovering my, at this time it was complicated to find information because there was internet was not that popular. I was going to kind of the markets where they were selling computers and I was speaking with a salesperson and they was explaining me how it's actually working. So it's, I was saying yes to all the opportunities, to all the projects, and it helped me to test a lot of stuff in parallel and take lots of experience that helped me afterwards.
So then when you came to the end of university, did you think about going to work for someone else? Did you work for yourself? What was the next step?
I was for all my study, I was having a business. And so it was, I was running it in parallel when I was finishing the university. Kind of, I had over, I think over 50 employees already. So it was quite growing business and I was kind of businessman. I was at the fifth course because I was specialist. It was not bachelor and master, it was a specialist. When I was finishing, I was actually giving lecture in the university about the business stuff. So my professor for the management was inviting me to give some lectures over there about the practical things.
So that first company then, so when you set it up, how old were you? You were still a student?
Exactly 18 years old. So I was, as I mentioned before, it was monitoring of commercial transport. It's kind of a company where at these days we was putting small boxes with a SIM card in, for example, taxi, and it was possible to monitor where it is. There was no Uber or whatever. This company, at the beginning, I joined to Super Micro project when I was 16 years old. During 2 years, I was internally developing it. And when I started to become 18 years old, I discussed with a partner of that company that created that I will buy out of the half of the company. Few weeks after I became 18 years old, I just registered the first company and moved half of the company there, bought out, and I sold it when I was 19 years old to the biggest competitor.
Really?
Yeah.
And then what did you do after you sold that? You probably went and set up another company.
I do. The first one was actually a marketing agency. And after kind of my clients started to come to me, you know how to sell this stuff. Maybe you will help us with this. And I said, okay, I will help you with this. And that's how it became 11 different companies within a consulting field. But in the end, the biggest one was investment consulting. Helped a lot of the venture fund, family offices to structure the deals, both from the both side. I mean,
And this was in Russia still?
No, it wasn't in Russia.
So you were based in Russia and working for
Actually, like, I had a huge team, both in Moscow and Kyiv. But the main interest was Singapore, was USA, was Europe, and so on. So it wasn't internal projects inside Russia. It was for outside, just the team. The main part of the team was there.
Wow. And was it that financial work that then put Luxembourg on your map? How did you get to Luxembourg?
It's actually, I had an office. I had a small representative part here with an office of three people. But decision to move here and also to move my business activity was not only because of this. I'm a shit guy who always compare things. So with the plus minuses, and I created a table where I had the plus minuses of the different countries, and I was trying to figure out what, because I had already some resources and I had the choice. So I could choose pretty all the countries in Europe, USA, Canada, and so on. And the decision to move to Luxembourg was based on arguments, my internal arguments that I write down in this table.
So what was in the plus column? What was the big draw?
You know, I grew up in a big country. Right now, I'd say that it is a minus because it's a negative thing. So when the country is small, you can do some things that, and you will see immediately the impact. Yep. And it's way faster to do something and even start something in a smaller country than in a big country. And often investor or someone saying that, oh, you need to focus only on the big market. I'm totally opposite to this. I am thinking that if you start to win even on the local market something, then it's easier to expand, because on the local, it will be faster, less expensive, maybe less competitor, and so on.
The company of yours, that EasyBiz, that got my attention, I think you're about to expand into France. So you've kind of tested and built and honed the product in Luxembourg, and then you can move there to the bigger market.
Yeah, exactly.
France. Is that the
yeah, sort of exactly. Model? And for this company, I'd say that Luxembourg is one of the most complicated market overall, because in France, and in France, some of the stuff you can do way easier than in Luxembourg.
So you said you had businesses. So tell me about some of the more obscure ones you had that aren't.
But it's fun because, I mean, when you have 8 different businesses in different fields and somebody asking what you are doing, it's so difficult to explain because you start to remember what I have.
But you, I think you said when we were talking before, you ran a restaurant in Paris as well or something?
Yeah, I had also a conservative business with real estate, with a restaurant. It was mostly, some of them was successful, some of them was not. And I was involved in super kind of conservative business of manufacturing. I still have a kind of involved in a company that producing supplements in Germany. And
like health supplements?
Yeah, health supplements.
Okay. I did not expect that range of businesses. I thought it was all going to be like IT tech stuff.
Tech driven, it's important. So it's not only time to time people saying that the tech could mean the SaaS or whatever, some just software services. No, but tech driven. Because for example, EasyBiz is a tech driven company, and all the business that I have in portfolio, even the real estate stuff, it's a tech driven.
So I guess EasyBiz fundamentally it's like a lawyer accounting company.
It's fiduciary. Yeah, fiduciary. Yeah. It's kind of chart of accounts and.
But then you're applying the technology to that to do it faster, better.
Faster, cheaper, better quality of service, and then and so on. Yeah.
Excellent. Great. So we've had a bit of your journey from Moscow to Luxembourg. So we'll take a quick break and then we'll get back into some of the tutor questions. Luxembourg, a European Silicon Valley in the making. But there are no local technological solutions. Many service consultants don't know how to work properly with startups. Welcome back to Office Hours. In part one, we learned about Daniel Kirikov's journey to entrepreneurship. And now we'll get into some of the chewier questions. Now, those words I just read were from an article that you wrote back in 2023. The link's in the notes below. So there seem to be two messages in it, Daniel. There's kind of a positive message about Luxembourg, but then a comment on some of the challenges here. Are we on the right track? Are we heading the right way? Or are we missing the opportunity that's there?
I'm sure that, yes, definitely we're on the right track. And I'm living 5 years in Luxembourg, and during these 5 years, I see how it's changing. There was lots of positive change. It could be better, but it's always could be better, you know. And
so what are some of those changes?
I mean, overall, the quality of the ecosystem, especially for the new venture, exchange of experience for the new entrepreneur, the freedom of speech, let's say like this, for entrepreneur in between each other and sharing the experience and so on. And the core idea started to develop that the mistake is a good part. It's not something that I mean, you've done a mistake in the business, you failed your life. No.
That's one of the mantras, I guess, from Silicon Valley famously, is like fail fast. So if you do something, it doesn't work.
I don't think that it belongs to the Silicon Valley overall. I think it's belongs to all kind of business, no matter it is technological or it is a conservative one. It's all about, you never know what is right. The only way is to test, and you just need to understand how to test this faster and cheaper. That's it.
And you said that there's a good ecosystem where people come together. So what are some of the forums that people gather? If there's an entrepreneur out there that thinks, I want to go and meet more entrepreneurs, where should they head?
I'm part of the LCI, House of Entrepreneurship. There is Luxembourg City Incubator. I'm part of this for really several years. And there is a guy called Bastien, and he kind of created the family of the business owners, and we have internally masterminds, everything, and it really helps, especially if you come, if you are not Luxembourgish and you don't have connection, they're really helpful. And I'm so much thankful for them, and they helped us a lot to understand the environment, to meet new people, to also to feel that you are needed, because I think for entrepreneur it's important overall.
So very welcoming. Before, we were talking about your eight different ventures within, give me a bit of an idea of the breadth of those.
So the first one is EasyBiz, the one how we knew each other. It's a company that changing the kind of the approach of how you create the company and manage the company. The core idea behind is to let the business focus on creating the value and not on bureaucracy.
Yeah, we were talking before, so I've just incorporated a company, and I was struggled for about half a day to get the right PDF format to upload to the system so it was accepted. Yeah. So you just solve all those issues for people.
I can say that we solved it already. It's still a huge amount of work we need to do in the forward, because it's never perfect. I'm the worst client the company have, because I'm always unhappy with something and I want to exchange and make it something better. As I said, let the business focus on creating the value. I have a visit card for this project where I have a huge letters, founder who hate bureaucracy. And that's really about me. I hate all kind of paper. I think it's worth it, but you have to do it. That's where EasyBiz come. You have to do, we'll have, and we'll try to make your life easier in this time.
Some of the other companies?
The other one, for example, is a Big Bro. It's a kind of sport analytics system. It's more deep tech project. We created a system that with a simple camera can analyze the, for example, football field, receive all the stats for players for the balls without any wearable devices. It's growing, not in Luxembourg, but in the USA and overall in Europe. Third one is, for example, Lux Today. It's a project that happened by the accident from the chat that created my assistant to help me understand the local news in Luxembourg. And right now it's one of the biggest English-speaking portal in the country.
So you were struggling to get access to the news because it was all in Luxembourgish, so you built...
No, it was on different languages.
Languages.
Yeah.
So this aggregates all the different news and translates it.
No, at the beginning was just assistant was translating it, and after I was trying to figure out some kind of simple procedure you need to solve when you moved to the country, you know nothing, and you need to understand, we start to create guides. And right now, if you will Google something about the Luxembourg, in most cases, Lux Today will be in top three position in a Google or LLM system. So it's kind of, we have lots of organic traffic over there. It's not classical media. It's not competitor to RTL, definitely. But it is kind of the portal with tons of different guides for no matter what's how to open a company. It's also helped us. It's how to salary calculate lots of different microservices and so on.
So it seems like a lot of your ideas or businesses come from frustrations. You hate bureaucracy, so you're EasyBiz.
Definitely,
you wanted
yes.
that. The other ones, we've got football in there. Couple of the others?
I think the overall, the entrepreneur is someone who always unhappy with something and have a willing to change it. And that's the core idea of entrepreneurship. Most of the company comes from your personal experience. You see some imperfection and you want to do it better.
Good. I'm glad you're doing that, because it's definitely helping me and other people in Luxembourg. So what's your plan for the future?
My plan for the future, like scaling, create a new projects. I'm really curious and passionate on the stuff that we are doing. We're scaling in Luxembourg, we're scaling worldwide. This year is actually a year of the scale for us because kind of we have lots of new team members and all the process was dead.
And you said one of the benefits of Luxembourg is you can trial things here because it's smaller. We're not going to lose you to America for the big bucks in the near future.
No, I don't think so. I mean, you never say no. But right now we're focusing on the central part of the Europe. I think that in Europe there is huge opportunity because in parallel there is lots of changes. Some of them are good, some of them are not that good. But still it's changes, and all of the changes is opportunity for the business to take the market, to be the fastest to adapt to the new market, to the new reality, and so on.
So when you say changes, what sorts of changes are you?
Kind of the whole approach to the business, business itself, technological, political, all kind of changes. Yeah. All of them are affecting the real market, and lots of conservative business have to move and change, otherwise they kind of die naturally, or new venture coming and started to disrupt in the whole segments, and so on and so forth. Right now we're living in era of robots, AI, and all of that stuff. It's changing all kind of approaches in the business.
Yeah, so you've got these 8 different projects on the go, you're trying to get ahead of these changes, everything's moving quick. Do you work 24/7 or what do you do outside of work?
No, I have a nice team. I think the main goal for entrepreneur is to find the people you can trust to, because I'm kind of the guy who can create in parallel 100 different way of doing things in parallel, but I'm not the guy who will finish each one of them. So for each one of them, I need someone who will be responsible for the execution. And I try to save in myself the top view picture and be not affected by daily operational things. And this, how you call the delegation, to delegate the work. And I think the cool part for me is we have superstar team, and they really help us doing some incredible things really fast.
Yeah, how many people are in your organization at the moment?
I know it's also a complicated question because I have no clue. I can explain why. It's not because I'm trying to hide this information. No, just I'm responsible to hire the managers I'm working with myself and helping them to build the processes, but they are finding their managers or their employee, and I have no clue who is hired or who is fired. Overall, I think for all of the companies right now, we have 150, 200 people, but yeah, I cannot say precise number.
So now you're managing the managers who are off getting other people and doing the work. Do you miss the day-to-day? Like you're back in the pharmacy when you were going in and troubleshooting a laptop and working out how to get it to work. Do you miss some of that hands-on stuff?
No, I'm not missing because I'm doing it day-to-day. Yes, I'm still doing. I'm always the one who is trying to do a new things, because strong part for entrepreneur is that if everything is in chaos and the new things is always chaos, it's not scaring you. You just enter and you're curious and you want to understand more details, and you start to discover in details, and it's become more and more curious. And that's kind of the entrepreneur mindset. But for some of the people, it's way more comfortable when it's already things, you know, they understand what to do, how to do, and they can help you to execute this. So it's just different mindset. That for me, for example, it's comfortable when it's chaos. I'm really, yeah, let's do it. And if somebody is telling me it's impossible, I'll say, haha, let's see each other in half a year.
So you kind of dodged my question, because I said, what do you do when you're, and you said that you delegate, but you didn't actually say whether you take time off or do stuff outside of work.
I delegate the things where I understand what need to be done. But for the new things, I have dedicated team we call 3F Labs, where we test different ideas, and I'm one of the main source for these ideas, and I'm the main facilitator for these ideas. So when there is idea, there is nothing behind. There is no team, there is nothing. And I kind of start to test, start to understand what need to be done. We start to trying to sell it, we're trying to find the partners and so on. This is my work.
Working hard at the front end of the process, trying to turn those ideas into something tangible. Which brings me on to one of the questions I like asking. So how would you attribute your success between your talent, your hard work, and luck being in the right place at the right time?
I think the most important thing is luck. No matter what, it's finding the right teammate, or it is finding the right contract, or finding the right idea and being in the right place. It's all about the luck. But if you're just lucky, nothing will be happened. You need to do a lot of hard work. And like if you are doing the hard work and you catch the luck, then you can become successful. I can say that I'm talented in something, because I think that entrepreneur overall is doing everything, but nothing specific. Like I'm not a doctor who knows some precise stuff. And so I know everywhere small pieces just to understand the whole picture. But I'm not good specifically in something like...
There's a phrase in English, a jack of all trades, but a master of none.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I think you're probably still good at those all trades. I'm fixing a computer without any internet to help you is pretty impressive. And if you've got one piece of advice for any budding entrepreneurs out there or people that want to get involved in entrepreneurship in Luxembourg?
I think the biggest advice that... actually helped me a lot, it is always worth to try. I mean, don't try to sit down and create the perfect plan. After a few weeks, you will realize that you've done a mistake in your plan. It's good to have a plan overall, but it should be like few lines on the paper just to understanding and merging the position where we want to go. Always worth to try, just do it. Mistake is okay. Mostly it's even better to have a mistake, because from the mistake you receive the biggest experience, because if you are right, then it just becomes reality. The mistake you remember always.
So you, how many companies have you had in your whole life?
I think over 25.
Over 25. So on that, how many of them would you count as a success and how many as a failure?
Depend what is success. Like if you measure success with the money, then I think that 15 of them was unsuccessful. It means that I didn't receive multiplier per my investment, no matter it was time or money, and the rest was successful. So like, trust me, this 25, it's something that was keeping alive for some time. I have way more ideas that was dead within a few months or whatever without investment. That's the main point, for example, for the venture studio. It's to test fast and understand what you need to do. Even for the team also. I mean, if some of my team members think that I'm not right, they immediately approach me and say, hey, you're doing some stupid things. Let's think about. And it's perfectly normal. I don't afraid of this.
Yeah, I think I asked a question about hard work and talent. I think one of the talents in this interview that's come across is the fact that you're quite approachable. An easy person for people to come and have a conversation with. So that must help in your leadership. So thank you for joining me very much. If people want to know more about 3F Venture Studio or yourself, what's the best way to get in contact?
It's easy way. I just subscribe me on LinkedIn. And if you have some question, just write me down.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for joining me
today.
And thank you to the listeners.